The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. You're also listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWE 1100 AM, The Real, in Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. I am the host of Conversation Unplugged. I also have my co-host on here, Bishop Kevin Akins. Bishop, man, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing very well on this couple days before Christmas
time, yeah,
celebration. Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm going to say it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no lacking in procrastination either for last-minute soppers.
I know.
Hey, man, you know, I'm happy today. You know why I'm happy, right? Eagles won on Tuesday, man. Hurts.
And they did in a grand way, too.
Yeah, man, Hurts getting some love. Right now, you know, he's getting some love right now. And so we got Bishop Welch on, Pastor Welch, so we get ready to get started. So, hey, check this out. So we got some current events, and then we want to get into the subject today. Here's the current events in Philadelphia as well as Atlanta, Georgia, and Philadelphia. You got it from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and from Atlanta, I got it from the Atlanta newspaper. I always mix the name up, so I'm kind of hesitant to say the name. I believe it's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution or Atlanta Constitution Journal. I always mix the name up. But in Philadelphia, from the Inquirer, states the following. Multiple people in custody after United States Representative Mary Gay Scanlon is carjacked and robbed in South Philadelphia. She's physically okay, but her vehicle and possessions are gone, the representative spokesman told the Inquirer. It's sad that, you know, again, with the crime escalating in Philadelphia, Congresswoman Representative Mary Gay Scanlon was, endured a carjacking yesterday. We keep her in prayer. They did catch those who did commit the acts, and as Christians, we keep them in prayer as well. As Philadelphia records the 500th homicide, Mayor Kenney takes aim at the state. They don't care. That's a quote from that Mayor Kenney said. The administration convened the gathering hours before the city's 50th homicide, tying to record for the most in modern history. We have 500 homicides in the city of Philadelphia. We call it the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, but we're not showing any love and affection when we take time to kill each other. That's unacceptable. Eagles coach, after winning on Tuesday, tests positive for COVID. And so Nick Sirianni, we're keeping Nick Sirianni in prayer. So if Sirianni isn't back by Sunday, passing game coordinator Kevin Petullio would take over the game's management aspect as the coach's job against the Giants. In Atlanta, Georgia, Trump's state of mind central to the Fulton DA's investigation. Should the Fulton County prosecutor decide to advance a case against Donald Trump, a key factor they must prove is that the former president knew his conduct was unlawful as he sought to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia. Also in Georgia, one dead after a fiery crash involving moving truck on I-85. A man was killed in a fiery crash early Thursday morning when the moving truck he was driving tipped over onto I-85. Let's keep his family in prayer. McConnell openly courts Manchin to leave the Democrats, join GOP. Republican Senator Leader Mitch McConnell is openly recruiting Democratic Senator Joe Manchin after his fraction split with the White House over the president's social and environmental spending package. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene out of the Atlanta, Georgia area, who boasted about being unvaccinated, owns stock in three major vaccine makers. Those are our current events today. Pastor Welch, how you doing out of Pittsburgh? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. We got Bishop Kevin Akins, myself, and you on the line. Thank you for being able to join in our conversation Unplugged. You know, we're operating out of Philadelphia and Atlanta, Georgia, and I know you can only be on until 1:30. We're dealing with a subject, the Grinch who tried to steal. And so the first part of this particular conversation before we go to our station break deals with the Grinch who tried to steal the 2020 election. It starts out, CNN reported, House Select Committee investigating January 6th has asked Representative Republican Jim Jordan, one of the former President Donald Trump's top congressional allies, to voluntarily meet with the panel as it zeroes in on Republican lawmakers who may have significant knowledge of events leading up to the United States Capitol attack. Jordan previously warned the committee that targeting GOP lawmakers in any capacity would be met with political retribution if Republicans retake the House after next year's midterm election. Jordan was originally selected by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to be one of the five GOP members serving on the committee back in July, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected McCarthy's selection of Jordan along with GOP Jim Bakes because she said their appointments could impact the integrity of the investigation. Pastor Welch, Bishop Akins, man, let's talk about this. You know, we're coming to the end of a year, 2021, at the beginning of 2021, as they tried to certify the election on January the 6th, we had a major insurrection. And we're going to label the insurrections as Grinches that tried to steal the presidential election. What is your thoughts about as we come to a close in 2021 that we had Grinches that tried to steal the presidential election and Grinches that are still trying to steal elections? What are y'all thoughts about that?
Well, I don't think any of us should be surprised once Trump became president, because even in his business dealings, he had been a crook. So it's not surprising he would try to steal the election. But, you know, I was hoping, as I'm sure many would, that there would have been some sort of justice by now. But, you know, as it's been said, justice delayed is justice denied. But, you know, hoping in 2023 or 2022, we can bring an end to this circus and actually face justice, and hopefully have the number 45 in an orange jumpsuit.
Wow. And before we go any further, Pastor Welch, I jumped in, I introduced you, your name, but didn't give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners on Facebook Live as well as on the radio airway. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Senior pastor of 6 Mile Zion Missionary Baptist Church here in Pittsburgh. I chair the board of a national grassroots organization called the Camellial Network. We do faith-based organizing in 44 different cities, 17 different states. And so I just love the intersection of faith and politics.
Wow. I definitely need to talk to you offline in the next couple of weeks, because that's the initiative I'm about ready to launch in 2022. But before I announce it on air, I need to get the administrative part in order as we begin to launch something new in 2022. So I definitely will want to talk to you as well. Hey, Bishop, the Grinch is trying to steal, man. You know, the Grinch is trying to steal. You know, that's not original. I got that from Dr. Seuss, the Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. And so I wanted to be creative and take the radio show in another direction and really get back to the premise of why we started Conversation Unplugged. When we reflect on 2021, man, we're coming to an end. And, you know, at the beginning, man, everybody was saying, what is Trump and his followers going to do as they get ready to certify the election? What is his followers getting ready to do? What is he going to do? And then I don't know if I was on air. No, I wasn't on air. I was at home and I'm on Facebook, and then I'm starting to hear the stuff that's taking place at the Capitol. I go on TV and was just, man, I can't even go into detail about it. What is your thoughts about this, man? 2021, we really had Grinches that tried to steal this election. And wait a minute, the Grinches tried to say we stole the election, and yet they tried to steal the election. So talk to me, man. Talk to me.
Yeah, I think first I just to my co-laborer, Pastor Walsh. I think he's right on it when he mentioned about not being surprised, you mm-hmm. know, about an individual that gives a character that really is a questionable kind of character. That's first of all, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, I know there are some followers and everything else that they have of particular individual, number 45, let's say it that way,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much that, you know, have a very wide fan base.
Right.
And let me say it that way, a very wide fan base. So to whom it may be concerned, the reality of it is that there is no excuse for actions that go against an office that's supposed to be an office to set standard. That's first and foremost, because we're dealing with, you know, setting a standard for the country,
mm-hmm.
United States of America. There's some moral ethics in the sense that that we can agree with that shows professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just really speaking about, first of all, just the character of the individual that continue to be in that particular office, and that we had to make a shift and vote, have some major votes to go against that characteristic, you know, that we did not like. That's first and foremost. But the idea of the conversation centered around Grinch, you mm-hmm. know, is very timely as pertains to the character of the cartoon character, as well as the live presentation of the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphorically speaking, we pretty much can look at it and pretty much say, okay, I can see why there's a parallel with this and why there is an allegory when it comes to where we are in this country.
Right.
And how we looked at what happened as 46 came in, and how very fair, you know, very fair election in that regard, and how it was shifted to look like, you know, something was wrong and some areas of thievery did happen.
Right.
And so when you look at the characteristic of the individual that actually led it, you look at all the events that took place, it was a swelling up. It mm-hmm. was a building up to, you know, come to an eruption. And that's exactly what happened. All throughout the candidacy, all throughout, you know, his office residence, in a sense, there's a lot of different questionable things that occurred. You know, when you talk about the marches that occurred, and we started moving into the difference between black and blue, you know,
right.
far as lives being mattered. And then you talk about the conversation that comes from that particular office that says there are good people on both sides. I mm-hmm. mean, it was a swelling. It was a leading up to an eruption.
Right.
And so as to lead out of the office or to come out of the office and then get to the point where it was a blame shifting of something that's being stolen, but the very one that is looking to say somebody stole something is now the very one that's showing exactly what the motive and what his method had been all along. And so I just look at this and I say, you know, this is the aftermath of everything that we're still trying to get a sense of normalcy when it comes back to the dignity that should have been in the office.
Right.
The standard that should have been in office. So just given that, you know, kind of commentary and conversation, to me, you know, we're trying to grasp a hold of the things that, you know, was stolen from us. We're really trying to get back, you know, all the things that the cankerworm and the caterpillar has stolen, you know, from us. And I say that because of the situation that we're talking about. We are dealing with a Grinch.
Right.
We are dealing with that character and that characteristic of someone who is, that to me, that questions humanity, mm-hmm. you know, is in the word that I'm trying to think of that word Misanthropy. That's what it is. That's misanthropy. It's a word that deals with, you know, bring my academics out. That word that brings about hatred or some type of dislike of individuals and continue to be on themselves or amongst themselves. That's the embodiment of the Grinch.
So I have to do, I'm gonna follow up with Reverend Dr. Welch if we come from our station break, but I do have to mess with Bishop Bacon's and Pastor Welch. We need to tell Bishop Bacon's, man, don't be bringing no SAT words up in here that we can't spell. bring no SAT words up in here we can't spell. Let's go to a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM as well as WWWE 1100 AM, The Real Atlanta, Georgia. You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB with Reverend Dr. Wayne and Weathers, brought to you by Lancaster Bible College, Capital Seminary, and Graduate School. LBC Philadelphia location has programs for busy working adults in accounting, business, Bible, communication, ministry, community transformation, and social engagement, human services, criminal justice, healthcare management, and more. Connect with LBC and Capital Seminary today by visiting lbc.edu/philly or call 215-280-6300. Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia, as well as WWWE 1100 AM in Atlanta, Georgia. We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, a Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy Kwanzaa as well. May this year continue to enrich your life with grace and peace, and we look forward to what God has in store for you in the future in 2022. Take care. We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia, as well as WWWE 1100 AM, The Real in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to be prophetic or maybe pathetic today. The Eagles is going to the Super Bowl. Maybe not this year. Maybe not this year. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I know Pastor Wells, he's out of the Pittsburgh area. He probably like, man, this pastor done lost his mind in Philadelphia. Done lost his mind. Hey, Pastor Wells.
Man, I didn't know I was talking to you, Wayne. Reverend White didn't tell me who I was going to talk to.
Yeah, man. I know y'all a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan in the Pittsburgh area. Yeah, man. Yeah, now your quarterback's
The struggle is real.
Yeah. Your quarterback's retiring, right?
So he says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, one question. When you said it didn't take you by surprise, you know, in your organizing and everything like that, how in Pittsburgh with the so-called stop the steal, how was that playing out in the Pittsburgh area as we talk about the Grinch to try to steal the election? And how is that playing out now? Is people in Pittsburgh, certain segment of the population in Pittsburgh, still believe that Biden is not the legitimate president and that the election was stolen from him?
Yeah, it's primarily in outlining areas outside of Pittsburgh proper within Allegheny County, the outlining areas, and of course the other outlining counties in southwestern Pennsylvania, which, mm-hmm. you know, is the only thing blue in this southwestern Pennsylvania is Pittsburgh. Everything else is red.
Right.
So, you know, that narrative plays thick once you get outside of the city limits.
If you could educate our brothers and sisters, because that's, you know, people who are not in Pennsylvania, they automatically think that the state of Pennsylvania is so progressive with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, et cetera. And they were very shocked in 2016 when it flipped from red to blue. And people forget Reagan carried, you know, Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, in the 1980 election, as well as the 1984 election, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he carried it in 1980. I know he carried it in 84 because I was on my way to a senior in high school. And I think Monday only won one state. That was Minnesota during that election. But, you know, can you explain to my listeners out there the dynamics of Pennsylvania? Because when you think of Pittsburgh, you think of Philadelphia, you think it's very progressive. But the state of Pennsylvania is very unique with very unique cultures. It's not as progressive as most people think.
Yeah, it really isn't. I mean, the state being is one of the oldest states in the union. And much of the character within the state hasn't changed in the 200 plus years it's been around. colonial, and you know, so the whole essence of colonialism has not really been lost within this state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you get into the areas outside, like Philly and Pittsburgh, and you know, segments of Erie, which are predominantly blue, even among some of the progressives, there is this leak of conservatism that sort of kind of threatens the agenda, some of the progressive agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's you know, we are, as I mentioned before, we are I don't know a whole lot about the entire state, but I'll tell you, southwestern Pennsylvania really is just a suburb of West Virginia.
Hmm.
So, you know, we want to think that we are a large metropolitan area. And in population wise, you know, we are, but ideologically, we're not much different than West Virginia.
Now, you just said something very interesting. So how close is West Virginia to southwestern Pennsylvania?
I can get to the West Virginia border in 45 minutes.
Wow.
From Pittsburgh.
Great geography lesson. Wow. Yeah. Now, I do have to take a sidebar because my wife did chime in about football teams. And because she's my wife, I have to recognize that if she wasn't my wife, I would probably just erase this comment off of Facebook Live. I would say I was getting trolled. But since she is my wife and I won a nice Christmas gift, I want to read what she says. She says both teams, she's talking about the Steelers as well as the Eagles, are inferior to the Ravens. I said it with a laugh on her face. Now, I might have to revoke her ordination license because she's choosing a dirty bird over God's selected bird, which is the eagle. You know what I mean? Ravens is a dirty bird in the Old Testament. And I got some biblical scholars on them. Is that correct, Pastor Welch, Pastor Akins? Yeah, that's a dirty bird. The Ravens is a...
That's right.
But let me stop emphasizing that because I got to go home.
I put a raven in the pigeon category.
Now, I can't comment on that because I got to go home. I definitely got to go home.
You got to go home.
Yeah, I definitely got to go home. And Christmas, man, Christmas is on Saturday, and I want to make sure I get a good gift. Yeah, now going back to the subject here, it's the way this show is going to end today is how we can't allow Grinches to take our joy away. You know, and we use this saying in the church, which is totally incorrect. Oh, the devil stole our joy. He can't steal your joy. You know, he cannot steal your joy unless you relinquish the joy, you know, and that's just my humble belief. He can't take it unless we relinquish it. You know what I mean? And so as we move forward, what preventive things can we put in place to ensure that future elections isn't overturned because one candidate didn't get in and another group wants to make sure that, you know, since my candidate didn't get in, I want to make sure that I overturn the election to get what I want.
Well, you know, the one of the longstanding arguments has been doing away with the whole Electoral College process.
Mm-hmm.
Because it becomes a numbers game and you strategize in such a way that you play to your strength, you know, and you go after those states that have the larger electoral colleges, college numbers.
Right.
And so if you do away with that and you just go with the popular vote, it makes it a lot more difficult, I think, to sort of carry out. One way it makes it difficult to sort of carry out what happened, because we saw that Hillary had more popular votes than Trump did, but he had more electoral votes.
Right.
You know, and so so that's one of the arguments on the table. But, you know, I think one of the other things you have to do, you got to find some way to bring integrity back into politics. And that's going to be a very heavy lift because we're in this law, you know, as Bishop Akin said, you know, this has been sort of in the furrows of the ground for a long time. And it's now bubbling up to the surface.
Right.
And so we find ourselves in this very stark season of hyperpartisanism. To the point where I read somewhere where a 72 year old woman divorced her 78 year old husband because he voted for Trump.
Wow.
So, you know, when families are divided like this, we're in a very difficult time, and our churches are divided as well. And it's unfortunate that, you know, religious conservatism sort of seeped its way into the Republican ideology and the Republican agenda, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to find a way to bring integrity back into politics, And they say politics is dirty and politics is a blood sport, but it doesn't have to be, because when you boil politics down to its root, to its very root, all politics is how you and I engage one another. And when we look at the biblical text that says, love thy neighbor as thyself, that's a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're sitting at a Thanksgiving table, you know, the decision of who gets the first piece of turkey is a political decision. Who gets the first cut of the sweet potato pie? That's a political decision, you know. So you know, it boils down to politics, but politics doesn't have to be dirty, especially if we look at what politics really means. You can't escape it, because it's like the oxygen that we breathe.
Right.
It's all about how we deal with one another. That's all a politics is. Electoral politics can get dirty and has gotten dirty, but we got to find a way to bring integrity back into the system.
So we have Reverend Pam Shaw on the line, but I will say, and before the kids became adults, there was no democracy in our house. You got me. There was one party, and that was my wife and I. And so it's either one of us got to slice the turkey first. I just had to put that out there. Reverend Shaw, how you doing, Reverend Shaw?
I'm doing well, Pastor Weathers. How are you today?
Doing good. Thank you for calling in on Conversation Unplugged with our guest, Pastor John Welch out of Pittsburgh, as well as Bishop Kevin Akins, co-host.
Well, thank you so much, and greetings to all of you. The one thing that I wanted to mention was the use of the word Grinch.
Hmm.
And I did look it up out of curiosity, even though I know the story. I never looked up the word Grinch. And it talked about, one definition was a mean-spirited person.
Mm.
And I think when you take anybody who's mean-spirited and they are allowed, particularly to get into a leadership position, everything they do, what they produce, will have at its core being mean, not helpful, mm-hmm. not caring, not kind. And I think that one of the things that we're going to all have to be very careful of is, even as we're looking at the positions that those who are running for office take, we're going to have to go behind that curtain and see how do they do business,
yeah.
and pay attention in both parties. Because one of my concerns about politics, and it's just, I guess, the way it is, but I believe it can still be different, is who generally wins the election often is the one with the most money. And I think we've got to shift that even when we think of positions of power. So that's my comment for today, and thank you for letting me speak.
Wow. Thank you, Reverend Shaw. God bless you. Reverend Shaw is my associate minister at Vision of Hope Baptist Church. So thank you for chiming in on Conversation
okay.
Unplugged, all right? Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Reverend Shaw brings out a great point about, it comes across as the person who spends the most money is the one who eventually is positioned to win an election. So can we really unplug that in regards to Grinches as well? It's bad, you know, when you can buy your way in, but it's even worse when you got an evil spirit and you can buy your way in. What's your thoughts about that? Bishop?
You know, campaign finance reform hasn't gone far enough. Go ahead, Bishop.
Go ahead, Pastor Wells, because you get ready to roll in at after 1:30. So, no, go ahead. Campaign finance
reform. I was going to say, yeah, campaign finance reform, you know, hasn't gone far enough. And and I think, you know, when the Supreme Court made its decision right at the beginning of Obama's first presidential campaign, Citizens United,
mm-hmm.
Where corporations are identified now as people,
mm-hmm.
It really clouded the whole field with regards to how corporations can be involved in politics. And so, you know, Reverend Shaw was right. You know, money still talks, and whoever raises the most money on many occasions can easily win of elections. There's been some exceptions. I mean, the mayor of Buffalo won against an incumbent. She didn't raise nearly as much money as the gentleman did who she defeated.
Right.
But, you know, one thing I did want to say about this Grinch narrative and metaphor is, you know, there's a redemptive piece within the story of the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
The Grinch had a change of heart. I'm not quite sure the parties we're talking about are willing to be contrite,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to step into a redemptive reality.
Wow. Yeah. It, now, that's a deep, you know, Yeah, I forgot all about the ending of it. Yeah, the person did have a transformation. And the question is, you know, is there a redemptive heart in the system? And let's get truthful of both parties, you know, because one is pulling alt-right and another is pulling alt-left. And when you got two pieces of fabric pulling in the polar opposite directions, something is ripping, you know what I mean? And something is getting torn. All that being said, let's go to a station break on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia and WWWE 1100 AM, The Real Atlanta, Georgia. You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB with Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, brought to you by Lancaster Bible College, Capital Seminary, and Graduate School. LBC Philadelphia location has programs for busy working adults in accounting, business, Bible, communication, ministry, community transformation, and social engagement, human services, criminal justice, healthcare management, and more. Connect with LBC and Capital Seminary today by visiting lbc.edu/philly or call 215-280-6300.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers from Conversation Unplugged. I want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, and a Happy New Year. Take care.
We're back on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia, as well as WWWE 1100 AM, The Real, in Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. I am the host, co-host is Bishop Kevin Akins. We have our guest, Pastor John, Reverend Dr. John Welch out of Pittsburgh. I know you have to go, Pastor Welch. You said something, and I wanted to follow up on it earlier, the Electoral College. Now, I was one in the beginning, you know, when it was first talked about getting rid of the Electoral College in 2016 after Hillary Clinton lost, you know, the election. I was one that was against, you know, the removal of the Electoral College. However, and I make a big boldface 22 font, however, with exclamation points. When I started to see the voter registration, the voter suppression laws being passed, and we get ready to talk about that in a few minutes, voter suppression laws being passed throughout maybe 17, 22 states here in America. My attitude is if the system is corrupt, you know, you got to get the virus of corruption out. And I'm a big proponent of it's time to get rid of the Electoral College. I'm in a total agreement with you. I don't know if you said totally get rid of it. My attitude is we got to get rid of it. You know, when you start suppressing voters, you know, and then trying to overturn elections because your candidate wasn't the one that was able to get in, that's not the way the Electoral College was set up. It was set up as a check and balance. But now when you want to unbalance the check, you got me, and now you want to fix it so that you can overturn the election if your selected candidate didn't get in, and then you want to demonize and devalue the voters who actually went out and vote, that's when it's like, yo, voter, you know, majority takes all. What's your thought about that, Pastor Welch?
Yeah, I did say it should.
Okay.
I'm in favor of doing away with the Electoral College. And, you know, it sort of tracks along the immigration, you know, as you know, we get more and more, as the country becomes more and more brown, it threatens the Republicans and their agenda. And so, you know, you look at states like Arizona, some of the states that border, you know, Texas, that border Mexico, you know, they're going to put in more stricter voting laws. They're going to put in more more restrictions in on allowing people into the state.
Right.
Whereas, you know, you look at states that are above the Canada border, you know, there isn't that much of a there aren't that many restrictions. And so, you know, the data already shows that you know, whites are soon to become a minority in this country, which is going to have a significant effect on politics. The question is where they move to,
right?
Because where they move to also determines, you know, the strength of the Electoral College or the electoral votes in those states as well. So so as population shift, you know, so does the Electoral College affect it. But whereas if you go to the popular vote, it doesn't matter where people live,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you on that. It kind of levels the playing field almost to some extent.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, when you got Grinches that's trying to steal, you know what I mean? We have to put some preventive maintenance measures in place. I don't know if we have the fortitude to make that radical change, you know, because it needs to be done. but who has the spine to do it and willing to stand to do it. You know what I mean? And what we see happening right now, it there definitely has to be a change, because if not, the Grinches that steal, once they get, they suppress and oppress. Now, we've already got to suppression with voter suppression bills. Now, the practice of suppression is now oppression. And this is it's just crazy. As we make that switch when we talk about Grinches, so we talk about the Grinch that tried to steal the election. Then after the election, now we got Grinches that's trying to steal our right to vote. VoterSlab.org says the Voting Lab made critical updates to its report. A Tale of Two Democracies, first released in June and updated in September, demonstrating how a wave of state legislation on voting rights and election administration is transforming our democracy, creating a new fault line between states strengthening our democracy and those restricting it. The latest update reflects the passing of pro-voter legislation in our nation's largest state, California. It goes on to say, as of December 2nd, 2021, Voter Rights Lab has tracked 2,776 election-related bills, and 275 of those bills are now law in a total of 45 states. Of those bills enacted, 109 are pro-voter, 47 are anti-voter, 27 are neutral, and 92 are mixed or unclear. By our counts, which are updated regularly with the Voter Rights Lab state voting right tracker, 20 states have enacted legislation to expand and improve mail voting, while 13 states have enacted legislation restricting it. 20 states have enacted legislation improving voter registration, while 5 states have imposed new voter registration barriers. It goes on to say various aspects of how voter suppression laws have been enacted in order to stop voters, et cetera, et cetera. What is your thoughts about this, Bishop Akins, Pastor Welch, in regards to the Grinches that's trying to steal our right to vote? Pastor Welch, you can go first.
Oh, it's out of the ALEC playbook. I mean, you know, they write this legislative templates, and they get replicated across these various legislative districts. Many of these elected officials don't even read them before they put them to the floor for vote. And so it's part of the spirit of protectionism. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the spirit of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you trying to suppress? You know, whose votes are you trying to suppress? You're trying to suppress the votes of people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's as clear as day.
Right.
And the purpose of that is to maintain white supremacy. That's why we have this uproar against critical race theory being taught in schools and mm-hmm. even being taught in the military. So, you know, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they maintain control. Even if they do become the minority, we got South Africa to look at in that regard.
Right.
South Africans, you know, the powers that be there were a minority, but yet they controlled the whole country. So we cannot rest on the fact that, oh, we're going to become a majority pretty soon, because that's not it's not a given fact that even if we do become the majority, that we'll have power in this country.
Wow. Bishop Akins, before you respond, I just want to ask a question. I asked this on the show a few, maybe on my evening show. So Pastor Welch just talked about, you know, the whole concept of critical race theory and how now that's trying to be removed and et cetera, how they're trying to make a villain out of critical race theory. So let me just ask you a question. In your undergrad, master's degree, and doctorate level, starting with you, Bishop Akins, have you, as a matter of fact, even in public schools, were you ever taught critical race theory? Nah, I can't even hear you. Oh, okay, for sound, Bishop Akins' sound is not coming in. No, Bishop Akins says no, he wasn't taught. Pastor Welch, in your academic journey from, you know, K through 12, college, you know, master's degree, I know you have your doctor's degree, have you been ever taught critical race theory?
No, I haven't. And my introduction to any form of black history was actually post-college.
Post-college, right. And so with me, K through 12, you know, add nursery school, preschool, add my undergraduate degree, add my master's degree, add my doctorate degree. The first time I heard of critical race theory is when the Southern Baptist seminaries decided to denounce it. That was the very first time I heard about CRT. I was never taught CRT in public school. I was never taught CRT at the undergraduate level. I went to Duke Divinity School. Well, let me give a shout out to Virginia State. Went to Virginia State University, HBCU. Wasn't taught critical race theory. Went to Duke University Divinity School. Was not taught critical race theory. Went to Lutheran Theological Seminary, which is United Lutheran Theological Seminary. Was not taught critical race theory. And I didn't hear about critical race theory until last year when the Southern Baptist president, six of them, got together and denounced it. So, bottom line is, they made something out of nothing and got everybody following after it. Like, oh, critical race theory is a boogeyman. I don't want it taught in school. It's taught in law school. That's the bottom line. That's where it starts. It starts in law school. And if you don't want to be taught critical race theory, then don't go pursue a law degree. That's the bottom line. It's taught in law school. That's where the concept came out. So, let me do my bad boys meditation. Woosha. You know, woosha. Hey, Pastor Akins, is your sound okay? We got a problem with Pastor Akins' sound. His sound is his sound just we could hear him, and now he's speaking, and we can't hear him right now. They said it might be on your end. Can you say something now? Nope, can't hear. Do us this favor. Can you go out and come back in? We was having this problem in when we first came. Yeah, this is crazy. Well, we're going to try to work out this particular difficulty here. Yeah, so with this. Okay, can't hear you right now, Bishop. Yeah, Pastor Welch, how was this voter suppression playing out in Pittsburgh?
It's not playing out as it's not getting any traction within Pittsburgh, you know, there was some pushback on the whole mail-in balloting piece, and even though mail-in balloting favored both parties. We're getting some pushback on the legitimacy of allowing folks to mail their ballots in. And then there's the question about when the ballots can actually be counted here in Allegheny County. So, I mean, there are some efforts to try to challenge the process, but I really don't think there's going to be much much of a headwind there in that regard. Not here.
Right. Hey, Bishop, are we able to get you in? We must be having a great subject. There's a Grinch just trying to steal the sound from Bishop Akins, which is crazy. But, you know, we've been battling this. Bishop Akins, if we can't get you on via Zoom, if you call in 1-888-329-3306, we can get you back in if we can't get you in on Zoom. And I text you the number. This is crazy. We were rolling, and we're not going to let this stop us rolling for sure. You got we got your picture. Can't get your sound. Bishop Akins? Okay, nope. Can't get his sound. Can't get his sound at all. When you just said something in regards to the counting of the vote. See, this whole concept of voter fraud, you and I know it's a bold-faced lie. And, you know, working the Biden campaign, I was just sharing with, I think it was Bishop Akins last night, I was sharing with another colleague, that the whole strategy for this whole voter. Oh, there you go, Bishop. Hey, we got you, yeah. The whole strategy for this, you know, the Biden campaign enacted was that, and I'll share, they basically was telling us when we worked the campaign, nobody told us to steal any votes. Nobody told us to falsely register anybody for this president, for that presidential election. This is what they told us. They said, those who support Trump are going to go to the polls, right? They said they are not going to utilize their mail-in ballots. He said, they're going to the polls on election day. We were told we have to run up the numbers with our mail-in ballots so that we can offset whatever it is that they choose to do when they go to the polls. So So we were told to constantly emphasize when to register to vote. When is the deadline to register to vote? When you can register to get your mail-in ballot? What's the last day you can mail your mail-in ballot? If you can't, after a certain cutoff date, you can take your mail-in ballot to one of the local places so that it could be counted in order that, you know, it, you know, with the mail system slowing up, that it's, that your ballot doesn't arrive after the election and then it doesn't get counted. And in Pennsylvania, you would testify to this, Pastor Welsh, there was those in the state capitol that tried to get the mail-in ballots to be processed, right, so that the outcome of the election could be determined on election day. But a political party, those in a particular political party, fought it. And so it came across that the election was stolen to those who wanted to believe that it was stolen because Trump was in the lead. And then afterwards, once they start counting the mail-in ballots, which took about 4 or 5 days, then the election switched from Donald Trump winning the state of Pennsylvania to Joe Biden. That's what happened in Pennsylvania. Your thoughts on that, Pastor Welsh? Oh, did we lose Pastor Welsh? Sir? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute.
Oh, it's
sorry
okay.
About that.
Yeah, your thoughts about that before we go on station break?
Yeah, it's it was a circus. I thought the things that they were trying to do to even question the counting of these mail-in ballots because they knew what the Democratic strategy was going to be.
Right.
And that's why they also were pushing mail-in ballots. But, you know, it's up to the person as to whether or not they want to mail it in or whether they go to the polls. And, of course, don't forget, we were facing a pandemic. The other part we didn't mention is the intentional closing of poll locations.
Yes.
You know, as a way of suppressing. So if you close the poll locations, you know, trying to make it difficult for people in poor communities to go to vote, all the more reason why the mail-in ballots work well for us because, you know, we didn't have to go and search for where our polling location was. So you know, what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. So, you know, we were able to come on the other side on that one. I'm going to have to jump off.
Sure.
I appreciate this time with you guys.
And thank you.
You know, thanks for the invitation and blessings. Merry Christmas to you all and to your wife, the Raven fan.
Definitely will.
The Baltimore Pigeon.
Can you put in there also, Pastor Wells? Make sure she get me an 80-inch flat screen TV. No, don't put that in there. All right. All right, hey, you take care, Pastor Wells. Hey, Bishop, we're going to go on our last station break on WWDB 860 AM as well as WWE 1100 AM The Real. We're going to go on our last station break. You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB with Reverend Dr. Wayne and Weathers, brought to you by Lancaster Bible College, Capital Seminary, and Graduate School. LBC Philadelphia location has programs for busy working adults in accounting, business, Bible, communication, ministry, community transformation, and social engagement, human services, criminal justice, healthcare management, and more. Connect with LBC and Capital Seminary today by visiting lbc.edu/philly or call 215-280-6300. Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia, as well as WWE 1100 AM in Atlanta, Georgia. We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, a Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy Kwanzaa as well. May this year continue to enrich your life with grace and peace, and we look forward to what God has in store for you in the future in 2022. Take care. You're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia, WWE 1100 AM The Real Atlanta, Georgia. Got my brother in Christ, co-host. He don't know I just gave him that title, but yeah, and he can't say no on air. Co-host Bishop Kevin Akins. You know, the goal of Conversation Unplugged going into 2022 is to be one of the best African-American radio shows in the city of Philadelphia and abroad.
Yes.
And we are going to be pushing that envelope, you know, to be one of the tops. And we respect all radio stations and all radio shows here, even on WWDB. We're not in competition. But I tell you what, we have a quality program. And we're going to be pushing that quality program to be, you know, one of the tops. You got me? And so we got, you know, been writing. I was talking to Bishop Akins last night. going back to the fundamentals of why Conversation Unplugged started, you know, to really unplug conversations that's going to have an impact on the lives that deals with social justice and social change. You got me? Anything that doesn't fall in that purview, we won't be going down any other lanes. Don't get me wrong. We'll talk entrepreneurial. We'll talk mental health. But how do we unplug it that brings about social change and social justice within our communities, you know? All that being said, you know, let's spend a few minutes on, you know, Joe Manchin. He's being courted by Mitch McConnell. And Joe Manchin is not, you know, I'm not even going to be gentle with this. Joe Manchin has really irked my nerves. You got me? I'm trying to be theologically diplomatic about it, but I can't be theologically and diplomatic about it. Let me tell you what bothers me about Joe Manchin. What bothers me about him is he's not willing to adjust the rules to make sure black and brown people have their right to vote. But yet, you make demands out of the Democratic Party that they have to be bipartisan. And yet, you don't make the same demands, right, out of the Republican Party. That's the problem I have. Number two, West Virginia does not represent all of the United States of America. Right. It doesn't represent. And I understand you conservative, but there's nothing conservative about, you know, not supporting a rule change when you have another party that's intentionally trying to stop my people from voting. And if and if that rule, you know, passes here in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, it restricts us as well. So this person, you know, I have serious issues with that. I'm beginning to wonder, you know, I firmly believe that he is going to make a switch after this election. You got me? He is going to make a switch, either independent or Republican. But in the time that we have, because I want to end on hope, in the time that you have, what's your thought process of Manchin now, who's just scuttlebutted, right? Who just scuttlebutted Build Back Better. And I understand you may have some trepidations about it, but now you want it to start all over. And then your comment is, maybe I'll vote for it.
It just further to me, it further exposes the divide, you know, with the party and with our party. With the party, Democratic Party. I think the biggest thing is we look at is if we're expecting to win anything futuristically, we're expecting to have a hold or expect to gain ground. We cannot gain ground being divided within, you know, biblically, you know, that a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Right.
And as we begin to look at this, we look at these turncoats in a sense that we do have that we have in the parties. He represents still, you know, one that's a kind of not supporting in a sense or goes against the area of party of trying to gain ground. I mean, we just came from we just mentioned about the Grinch who stole, you know, what have you. We're talking about all the different things. Here's another situation of Grinchology. if you want to put it in that realm, you know, where we're even looking at trying to gain ground. Here's another area of stealing. You know, and we need all of our unified fronts to happen and to be, you know, connected together. And so I just disagree with the situation, because it is, you know, we need all the power and strength, you know, even though we may not agree on everything.
Right.
But at least let's agree that we want to come together and support one another. And that's really where the problem is. And if we continue to fight amongst our own party, you know, we will not have any strength going into the next election.
Right, right. And I'll also add, you know, fighting against our own party, our party, because I am Democrat and, you know, have worked for.
That's what I said.
So let's not, you know, you and I, we don't sugarcoat stuff. So I don't even say let's not sugarcoat it. But for the 2 minutes that we have left, our party got to stop. This is a whole nother subject. What ticks me off about the local Democratic Party, local politicians, state politicians, congressional, et cetera. When you want to reach out to African-Americans, you only choose, when it comes to churches, those you think got prominence. So if they have a name according to your standards, or they have a certain amount of members, you reach out to them. And I think it's dismal, appalling, and disrespectful, especially me as a leader as well, not because I'm moderator or anything like that. I have contact with folks throughout Philadelphia as well as outside of Philadelphia. You have contact with folks in Philadelphia and outside of Philadelphia. But yet they play this game of divide and conquer. You got me. And divide the colored clergy community by putting one group over here, one group over there. I'm only going to reach out to this person, et cetera, et cetera. And then you want to know why you're losing at record numbers or only squeaking across the finish line. Because those with whom you're reaching out to, they may have a broad appeal within their own congregation, but have no connection to their community. No connection to their community. Folks like you and I, we got connection to our communities. And at your own detriment, that's how you're losing your elections. So, you know, it's 1 minute left. We still, there's still hope.
And, you know, and the thing about it is you're correct. When you look at the simple fact that, you know, we, you know, Donald Trump won, you know, against
Hillary Clinton.
Against Clinton. And when you, and even, you know, this idea of trying to gain ground, a unification or what have you, you know, again, this divide and conquer, as we continue to talk about, and a house that's divided again against itself
can't prosper.
We have to begin to start gaining ground and start having those and unifying our fronts so that we can, you know, progress and gain some wins in the future.
And stop these Grinches from stealing. So we get ready to unplug. Get ready to unplug as we plug back in next week. I have a major announcement. Next week will be the last broadcast of Conversation Unplug for the year 2021. Next week will be the last broadcast of Conversation Unplug for the year 2021. Yeah. But that following Thursday will be the first broadcast of Conversation Unplugged for the year 2022. Hey, so Bishop Akins, man, man, we got to talk about you and my co-host. So let's talk about how we're going to get you on daily. You got me.
Okay.
I definitely want to get my wife on next week as we just end out on a more somber, positive note and everything. We'll talk about it in our meeting planning. To our listeners out there, thank you for listening to Conversation Unplugged.
Thank you.
WWDB 860 AM, Philadelphia, WWE 1100 AM, Atlanta, Georgia. We're unplugging today at 157 so we can plug back in at 1 p.m. next week. Take care. God bless. Right. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. Take care.
Amen. Conversation Unplugged.